18 verse 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. We Primitive Baptist preachers enjoy preaching about the insufficiency of the law of Moses. The law of Moses was insufficient to make children of God. It was insufficient to gain anybody a home in eternal heaven. But it was never meant for any of those things. But as a system of law, and that's all it was ever intended to be, is a system of law. There has never been a better system of law than the law of Moses was. The law of Moses called for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Somebody says that sounds pretty rough. Well, that made the punishment exactly fit the offense. Now, that meant that if you were to walk up to somebody and just haul off and bust him in the mouth and knock his tooth out, the law of Moses called for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you were to walk up to somebody and just bust him in the mouth, the law of Moses did not require for you to be arrested and put in jail for the taxpayers to keep you up and to leave your family to shift for themselves. What the law of Moses provided was that if you were guilty of that, you had to submit to have somebody walk up to you and haul off and bust you in the mouth and knock your tooth out. And if that happened, it's very likely that you would call for your friends and appoint a day so that it could be a public spectacle and all of your friends could gather around and laugh at him while you haul off and bust him in the mouth and knock his tooth out. And if he happened to be a big brawny fella and you were not, there was nothing in the law of Moses to prevent you from getting one of your muscle-bound buddies to stand in for you and to knock his tooth out. That sounds pretty fair to me, doesn't it, to you? You see, in this matter of fairness, this eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is a very fair system of law. Exodus 19 and 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds for the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain and touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mountain shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he that shall touch it shall surely be stoned or thrust through. Whether it be man or beast, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Can you imagine how uneasy that made those people at the foot of the mountain? They had come up to the Red Sea. God had divided the Red Sea in parts, and they walked through as by dry land. They had seen the plague of flies, the plague of lice, the murrain of beasts, the plague of hail. And now they were there at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God tells them, don't you touch this mountain. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the mount quaked exceedingly. First, the mountain was covered with a cloud, and then God thundered in the heavens. The mountain was on fire, and all of this smoke ascended toward heaven. Now, I don't know physically exactly what that looked like, but when God set that entire mountain on fire, I imagine it might have looked like a mountain of used tires on fire. Now, can you imagine all of those hundreds of thousands of people there at the foot of the mountain? And that mountain is just smoking like a mountain of used tires. And can you imagine God saying to you, hey boy, come up here, I want to talk to you. No wonder Moses said that I exceedingly fear and quake. That's exactly what God did. He said, come up here, I want to talk to you. Have you ever heard the expression, he laid down the law? You see, that's exactly what God did. He said, Moses, you come up here, I want to talk to you. And when he went up on the mountain, God laid down the law. It's called the law of Moses. Now, I have an idea that if that had happened to me, I might have exceedingly quaked and trembled as well. Now, why did God do something like that? I've learned that the best way I can explain anything is better by illustration. I don't do all that well with abstract reasoning. But if I might use an illustration, you've all heard this story, I'm sure. This old farmer was trying to get the mule to pull the wagon, and the mule didn't want to pull. And he popped him with the reins, and the mule didn't want to pull. And after about the third time, popping him and saying, "Giddy up," the mule wouldn't move. And the farmer climbed down out of the wagon, and he reached over behind the seat, and he picked up a club about yay long, kind of whittled down on one end like a baseball bat. And he walks around in front of the mule, and he plants both of his feet, and he raises that club up over his head, and he plants it right firmly between that old mule's eyes. He says, "First, you've got to get his attention." This even God came down on Mount Sinai in fire. He was getting those people's attention. And do you remember what Israel did after it was all over? They went around to Moses and they said, "Now, Moses, you talk to the Lord. You ask him not to do that anymore. Moses, you talk to the Lord and you tell him if he's got anything to tell us, let him tell you, and then you come and tell us." You see, God was getting the attention of Israel. The law of Moses was never intended to gain anybody a home in eternal heaven. But as a system of law, the law of Moses was the best system of law any nation ever had. David tells us, Psalms 18, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire." The Bible tells us about quite a few times in the Bible when God thundered in the heavens. I want us to look at perhaps just two more of them. You remember a time after the resurrection that the Lord took some of the disciples off up on Mount Olivet? And Luke tells us that as they beheld, a cloud received him out of their sight, and there appeared unto them two men in white, saying, "Ye men of Galilee," I've always enjoyed that verse. You see, Galilee was hill country. And really, you could paraphrase that as saying, "You bunch of hillbillies." "Ye men of Galilee, you folk from the hills, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Do you see, those angels said, "The Lord is coming back the same way he went away." Well, notice it said that a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, he's coming back with a cloud. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Paul says he's coming back with a shout. Those two angels said that he's coming back the same way he went away. Now, when he went away, a cloud received him out of their sight. When he's coming back in a cloud, in the clouds of heaven. But Paul says he's coming back with a shout. Luke did not say a thing in the world about his going away with a shout. Did you ever read it? It's not like it. Now, why did Paul say he's coming back with a shout? Those angels said he's coming back the same way he went away. And Luke doesn't say a thing in the world about his going away with a shout. Why was that? You see, first off, those disciples didn't hear him shout. He didn't shout for their benefit. David says in Psalms 45 that God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Let me ask you, when did God ever go anywhere? How could God go anywhere when he's already everywhere? Do you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is, was, and will be God. He was God when he went away. God went up with a shout when the Lord Jesus, God manifest in human flesh, ascended back to glory. Now, why did Luke not say anything about it? He didn't shout for Luke's benefit. You see, in some way in which you and I will never be able to understand, for 33 years, the Lord had been away from home. Now, he was still there while he was down here on the ground, and I can't explain that either. I'll leave that to somebody else. But do you see, for some 33 years, the Lord had been away from home. And he was going back home. My wife's not with me today for a long time. She wouldn't let me travel without her. My health's a little bit better. She lets me get out by myself now. I miss her by the time I leave Maryville. I'm anxious to get back home. To see the Lord was back home. He was going back home, and he got back to home with a shout. He's coming back with a shout. The same Jesus which is taken from you in heaven shall so come in like manner in which you've seen him go away into heaven. One more text and then we're done. The Lord said in John chapter 5, the hour is coming, and now is, in which the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 28. Then he said, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Only one difference between those two verses. In one verse he says, this hour now is. In the other verse he did not say that. You see, in that verse when he says this hour is coming, he was talking about the resurrection. They'll hear his voice, and they that hear shall live. Do you notice? The Lord draws an exact parallel between regeneration and resurrection. That same voice that will one day raise the dead is that voice that speaks to sinners here in this world and quickens sinners from death into life. You see, the Lord was teaching in the clearest language possible that regeneration is accomplished by exactly the same power that will one day raise the dead. Can you imagine the Lord coming back on that final day and going around one to another? Oh, come on now. Please now. Why not tonight? Oh, why tonight. Wilt thou be raised? Oh, it's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen. You see, on that morning, he'll speak and the dead will rise. The Lord draws an exact parallel. On that day, the Lord will thunder the heavens with the trumpet of God, and the dead will come out of the graves. In that same manner, today he speaks to those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. He quickens them. God thunders in the heavens, and he gives life. I thank you.
Amen.
Come here.
Tempted and tried with